I'd like to do for about an hour is when you spend most of the time wallowing in love poetry, which you've got in front of you, if you don't have your own batch, sit by someone who does. What I want us to consider as we go through these, and some of the writing you'll have a chance to do a little bit of your own writing, is to consider the ways that sensual experience and the erotic relate to the sacred. We had an interesting debate last night. We were discussing movies and the sacred in the movies in an open forum. And I was really struck by the fact that what kept coming up was that the sacred, for most people, was connected somehow to the sensual, to food, to music, to light, to sound. You know, what we were seeing in the movies, the music we heard, the relationships between the people in the movies. So I found that interesting as I was preparing this session. I want to start by reading a couple of brief excerpts for you. The first one is from a book called Touching Our Strength, by someone named Carter Hayward, and the subtitle is The Erotic as Power and Love of God. I have just a brief passage from this. The traditional Christian understanding of love fails to value adequately the embodied human experience of love among friends and sexual partners because it assumes the negative, dangerous, and non-spiritual character of sensual, erotic, and sexual feelings and expressions. The erotic is our most fully embodied experience of the love of God. As such, it is the source of our capacity for transcendence, the crossing over among ourselves, making connections between ourselves in relation. The erotic is the divine spirit's yearning through our body selves toward mutually empowering relation, which is our most fully embodied experience of God as love. Love may or may not be embodied among those who give bread to the poor. Love may or may not be incarnate between people in the excited throes of genital sex. Insofar as our relationships are not steeped in a longing to share in such a way that each person is enabled to be herself or himself, the sacred is muted and diminished among us. Mutuality is our shared experience of power and relation. By it, we are called forth more fully into becoming who we are, whole persons with integrity, together. Our shared power is sacred power, and it is erotic. So that's a passage from this text. Then I just want to read a very short stanza from a love poem by a Turkish poet named Nazım Hikmet, who spent about 18 years of his life in prison and wrote countless love poems. This is just a short stanza. The joy of loving you is like a second person inside me. The smell of geranium leaves on my fingers, a sunny quiet, and the call of the flesh. So, lies. You drive me crazy. So what I want to do today is go through, you've got a huge pack of poems, and I don't know whether we'll get through all of them, but I want us to read through them. You can raise questions as we go if you want, or if we get through them, we can talk about them at the end. Before we start, I want to give you a brief writing exercise to sort of loosen you up. So you should have a piece of paper, something to write with. If you don't, there may still be a few sheets and some pens and pencils over there.
Yeah, there's lots of scratchers.
Okay. Maybe out of poems, though.
We can write on the backs of the poems, too.
Yeah, you can certainly make. The poems are yours to keep, so if you want to write on those, go ahead.
Does someone need a set of poems?
Yes.
Yes, someone.
If at the end of the session someone is without a batch of poems and really wants a batch, let me know, and I'll take a set upstairs and we can run some more off. You never know how many people will show up for these. All right, your exercise. For those of you who have not been to one of these workshops before, what I have you do is free write, which is an attempt to just write as ideas come to you without editing yourself, without deciding in the process that this is not appropriate. Don't worry about punctuation or spelling. Also, don't worry that you'll be forced to read anything out loud that you write, because you won't. Sometimes it's easier to write if you aren't worrying about that. All right, I want you to describe in detail everything you can recall from a time you were wildly in love. So sound, light, taste, the room or the outdoors, wherever you were. Maybe it was a moment, maybe it was a week of time. Physical sensation, whatever you can remember. Maybe it was joyous, maybe it was utterly terrifying, do a description from the time you were just wildly in love. Okay? And just write. Don't think overly hard. Those of you who came in a little bit after my introduction, today we're going to be reading a bunch of love poems. Most of them are very contemporary. We're going to consider the ways that sensual experience and the erotic relate to the sacred in our lives, rather than being separate. Now, does anybody... This is a loaded topic, and writing itself is always a very intimate act, so I do not feel that you need to read anything that you've just written, but I want to offer a chance to anybody who may want to read something that you've just written that either surprised you or pleased you or shocked you, that you care to share with the room of people you don't know. Anybody?
I'll read just a few lines.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Lines of humor.
His eyes were slant. The car we necked him, an old blue Studebaker. Under his shiny hair and behind the oriental name was the Norwegian woman his father called.
I started out, I'm unable to sleep. All I want is to listen to Johnny Mathis, 1959. We're moving to Pierre, and Jack is going to stay behind. I don't like what I'm doing right now. What's wildly in love? It is not love. It is consummate. It is abandonment. It is infatuation. Real love grows. Love nurtures. Love gives. Love suffers. Love lasts. Wildly throws me. Wild sex, wild desire, yes. But love is a gentle beauty.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I just don't like the wild.
Okay. That's interesting. It's wonderful. It's a piece of writing. What did you say? All right. Anybody else?
Or German.
Mark is going to need to be able to look on with somebody. Got a bunch of poems in there.
Maybe I'll rush me.
All right. Good.
Tiny lines play connect the dots as a smile dances from ear to ear. Stray hair is flicked into shape. Eyebrows punctuate every sentence. Eyes play a symphony. The head speaks a language all its own. A nod, a shake, a bob. Yes, no, maybe. Mona Lisa, Helen of Troy, give place. Today I have met my new love face to face.
Oh, that's a very particular, very precise details in the beginning. That's wonderful. I like how it ends with a grind. You don't do that much on the spot. Very nice. Were you volunteering earlier, or did you change your mind? No, don't feel pressured.
Salvador. Saver. Hot food from street vendors. Hot, glorious kisses in cool rooms. Pirate lagoon, ship at anchor, chapel on the hill. Beach cratered by coconuts. Sunburned and burning for you. How can it be, after 21 years, I love you even more, or more amazing still, you love me? Almond oil and chocolate, desire and delight. Wondrous days and cool, blazing nights. Southern cross my heart, give my heart laughingly, simply.
Oh, it's wonderful. Very beautiful description of location, too, that you let in with. It's wonderful.
I have one.
What?
Focus, cherishes, ways to see you beyond the realms of thoughts. Intuitions of to follow, to lead. Who is my partner? How do we know? Faith leads us to the unknown, pursuing you, laughing, teasing, letting our guards down to see our light, then away, not hot, but scolding, too scolding, turn the heat off. cooled this down. Bodies are feeling too hot to handle. Way too good. Single file to think and become entrenched with the ideas of boundaries, opposites, and similarities. Who wants to be so hot that it melts the ideal of excitement and raw, pure feelings?
Oh, fantastic. I also love the refrain of the question that keeps coming back. You keep questioning your readers or your audience about what it means. Very, very good. All right. Anyone else? Okay.
I couldn't sleep, which for me never happens. I couldn't stop thinking about her. She was everywhere, on the walls of my bed, on my pillow, on the sofa, which I used to sit upon when it was evident I wouldn't sleep. All night long, I was kept awake by her voice, her hair, those eyes, and that smile. She was there on the balcony as I gazed at the moon. She was the sun as it arose over Highway 35.
Wonderful. A hard one for me to respond to. All right. I'm going to start now. I figured if I was going to be asking you to share, that in this batch that I handed out, I would include one of my own. So, I'll start with that. It's prayer. I hope I got authors' names on all of these as I photocopied, but... find that one? Okay. Prayer begins with a little line stolen from a poem by Tristan Zara, who is a Romanian surrealist poet. It reads, "I love you so I swear I do adore you." Prayer. From the wreck and tangle of the past moon, the past moment, every minute since this thirst began, I lean, I stumble toward you, hoping you've not turned away yet. Hoping there might be something here to hold your falling eyes, tack your feet to the floor. If I could escape my head for one day and come to you as tongue, as open mouth, proud hunger and thighs, as fingernail and footsole, lapis and emerald. If I could come to you without my voice pulling words around the sound, but just carry you with me to the water, and walk our bodies in until our mouths are underneath us and making O's, marking us with sucking octopus and leech. If I could, I would leave the flimsy skin of my intellect on the sand, like a towel, a blouse, to change shape and texture in the wind. All right, next. I think what we'll do is just move through as many of these as we can so that you're saturated. Beyond your capacity to bear. And I would like, so that you don't have to listen to my voice the whole time, I'd like us to just go around the room. I'll tell you which poem I've got on my pile, since they probably got out of order over there. If you would rather not read for any reason, just pass. It's fine. You don't have to read, but the board of people would like to. Why don't we start over here? And the next one, why don't we do Desire? And on the opposite side is The Good Silence. So it's Desire by Jerry Hargo. Pandemonium, there's always pandemonium in poetry. A little disorganization. Desire.
Say I chew desire and water is an explosion of sugar wings in my mouth. Say it tastes of you. Say I could drown because you left for the time it takes a blackbird to understand the pine tree. Say we enter the pine woods at dawn. We never slept and the only opium we smoke was what became of our mingled breath. Say the stars have never learned to say goodbye. One is a jewel of blue magic in your perfect ear. Say all of this is true and more, then there are blackbirds and a heaven of blackbirds.
It's
very
hard to
be
an American writer. All right, let's just do the month of May.
In the month of May. In the month of May, when all leaves open, I see when I walk how well all things lean on each other, how the bees work, the fish make their living the first day. Monarchs fly high. Then I understand I love you with what in me is unfinished. I love you with what in me is still changing, what has no head or arms or legs, what has not found its body. Why shouldn't the miraculous, caught on this earth, visit the old man alone in his hut? And why shouldn't Gabriel, who loves honey, be fed with our own radishes and walnuts? And lovers, tough ones, how many there are whose holy bodies are not yet born. Along the roads, I see so many places I would like us to spend the night.
You may come across some typos. I actually had to type some of these, so I give those. Very nice. All right. Next, let's do by Margaret Atwood, Variations on the Way to Love. The backside of that is why I will not get out of bed. Variations on the word love.
This is the word we use to plug holes with. It's right side for those warm blanks in speech, for those red heart-shaped vacancies on the page, but nothing like real heart. Add lace and you can sell it. We insert it also in one empty space on the printed form. It comes with no instructions. There are whole magazines with not much in them, but the word love. You can rub it all over your body and you can cook with it too. How do we know it isn't what goes on at the cool debaucheries of slugs under damp pieces of cardboard? As for the weed seedlings nosing their tufted snouts up among the lettuces, they shouted, love, love. Sing the soldiers raising their glittering knives in salute. Then there's the two of us. This word is far too short for us. It has only four letters, too sparse to fill those deep bare vacuums between the stars that press on us with their deafness. It is not love that we don't wish to fall into, but that fear. This word is not enough, but it will have to do. It's a single vowel in their metallic silence, a mouth that says, oh, again and again, in wonder and pain, a breath, a finger grip on a cliffside. You can hold on or let go.
Particularly appropriate to hold on, isn't it? Finger grip on a cliffside. Very nice. Okay, on the back side of that one, why I'm not going to bed, yes, is that right?
My muscles unravel like spools of ribbon. There is not a shadow of pain. I will pose like this for the rest of the afternoon, for the remainder of all noons. The rain is making a valley in my dim features. I am in Albania. I am on the Rhine. It is autumn. I smell the rain. I see children running through columbine. I am honey. I am several winds. My nerves dissolve. My limbs wither. I don't love you. I don't love you.
Do you think, is that a love poem or not? All right, before we go on, anybody want to make comments on any of the ones we've gone through so far? Questions or comments about love, about the sensual, about the sacred, about anything? If not, we'll just keep going, but I'll give you a chance to. Feel free, too, to write on these, you know, if you go lines or words that interest you, you know, you should mark them up and use them. Okay, keep going. New mother. How about? Oh no, let's do. Not that one yet. Save that. down the Little Cahaba. From the back side of that, it starts to get your body off my mind. We'll do that next. We have down the Little Cahaba. You now got it?
Down the Little Cahaba. San the Sun, the river. Home is August. We approach down the Little Cahaba, the three of us. Rubber inner tubes, hot laps and water so slow. We hear the rapids moving upstream towards us and whispers coming loud. Then the river bends and standing water to the lip at the lip, hover. The moment before orgasm, before the head merges, then over suddenly and sound rushing back from our ears. The youngest caught in the rapids, half grown. He hasn't lived with me in years, yet his head emerges at a scrape of rock, pushes pain through me, and streaks inside my thighs, vagina to knee. Swept to the outside curve, the boys climb up, stream to plunge down again. I stand at the mud bank to pick up the shells, river mussels with iridescent inner skin with reverence scars from once closed flesh. Years back at the beach with piles of shells in our laps with the first final separation on us, one asked, how do we know you won't forgive us? I told them how they had to name my room, each distinct, the impatient older, the steady younger. I said, I can never forget you. You moved inside of me. I meant the sound of your blood crossed into mine. Me, Bruce Pratt.
Good job. You have questions about this, what it might be about? Clear?
I think the children may be more.
In fact, even more specifically, with this poet, this woman had two sons and divorced her husband when she came out as a lesbian, and he took her children away from her. And she wrote an entire book about the experience of having her children taken from her for the fact that she loved another woman. And this is a poem where she's with her sons and remembering what it has meant to her to be their mother and to have them taken away, and their fear that she would forget them, and the idea of the strength of that connection and the love that was in that relationship. So, all right, other side of that page. Get your body off my mind. We have lots of different moods in these kinds of.
Get your body off my mind. I'm trying to concentrate on my life, on conversation and politics and all sorts of things. Get your body off my mind. It is humming and sharp and it sings.
I like that one.
I do too.
All right, and then the other one below.
Okay. The day the world was okay, bus drivers took people right to their doors. Milkmen left extra pints free. Electricity bills were signed, loving kittens, LED. My dog stopped barking at the postman and ran at the tail. And he left me unconditionally.
Beth, you want to give yourselves a writing assignment. Sometimes start a poem with the line, the day the world was okay. And then you keep going. You decide what would happen on that kind of a day.
give you a little...
What's L-E-D?
Just the initials, I think. Sign the bill and send it in. Okay. All right. Next, let's do New Mother. It's another poem. Sharon Olds, Ecstasy is on the back of it.
New Mother. No?
Some of you may not. Yeah, I don't know if I have enough copies of everything.
Okay. New Mother. A week after our child was born, you cornered me in the spare room and we sank down on the bed. You kissed me and kissed me. My milk undid its burning slipknot through my nipples, soaking my shirt. All week I had smelled of milk, fresh milk, sour. I began to throb. My sex had been torn easily as cloth by the crown of her head. I'd been cut with a knife and sewn, the stitches pulling at my skin. And the first time you're broken, you don't know you'll be healed again better than before. I lay in fear and blood and milk while you kissed and kissed me, your lips hot and swollen, as a teenage boy's, your sex dry and big. All of you so tender. You hung over me, over the nest of the stitches, over the splitting and tearing, with the patience of someone who finds a wounded animal in the woods and stays with it, not leaving its side until it is whole, until it can run again.
Oh, I always find that so moving. Mm-hmm. All right. One, two. Be about touch. And then Anne Sexton, and on the back of his nipples. Mm-hmm. Let me just come right across here, so I'm going to get protection.
For months, my hand had been sealed off in a tin box. Nothing was there but subway railings. Perhaps it is bruised, I thought, and that is why they have locked it up. But when I looked in it later, quietly, you could tell time by this, I thought, like a clock by its five knuckles and the thin underground veins. It lay there like an unconscious woman fed by tubes she knew not of. The hand had collapsed, a small wood pigeon that had gone into seclusion. I turned it over and the palm was old, its lines traced like fine needlepoint and stitched up into the fingers. It was fat and soft and blind in places, nothing but vulnerable. And all this is metaphor, an ordinary hand just lonely for something to touch that touches back. The dog won't do it. Her tail wags in the swamp for a frog. I'm no better than a case of dog food. She owns her own hunger. My sisters won't do it. They live in school except for buttons and tears running down like lemonade. My father won't do it. He comes with the house. And even at night, he lives in a machine made by my mother and well-oiled by his job. The trouble is that I'd let my gestures freeze. The trouble was not in the kitchen or the tulips, but only in my head. Then all this became history. Your hand found mine. Life rushed through my fingers like a blood clot. Oh, my carpenter, the fingers are rebuilt. They dance with yours. They dance in the attic and in Vienna. My hand is alive all over America. Not even death will stop it. Death shedding her blood. Nothing will stop it, for this is the kingdom, and the kingdom come.
All right. There's a very short Emily Dickinson poem on the bottom of one that says, "Now see what connections exist between sex and sleep." It's found, there's a line through the middle of the page, a small one. You have that one? We'll just come back to it from this way. Anybody got it?
Long years apart can make no breach a second cannot fill. The absence of the witch does not invalidate the spell. The embers of a thousand years uncovered by the hand that fondled them when they were fire will stir and understand.
All right.
the one above that. It's an interesting one. This was an assignment given to a class, and this was a student's response. I don't have the name of the student here, but the question was what you were doing earlier on, kind of a free write, to, and the assignment was see what connections exist between sex and sleep. And this is what, you know, the student wrote and came up with. You want to read? We'll come back.
She and her lover spent many days in bed, making love, eating leftover Chinese food, playing backgammon, eating pizza, making love, watching Busby Berkeley and Black Orchid on black and white TV. He tells her the colors. 5 days go by, and he says, "Are you really going all the way to the kitchen? Let me go with you." Reading her Zippy and King Lear, playing guitar. It is summer, sultry, a scrim of leaves outside the window. They are singing endless duets of scat invented on the spot. They make up a pastime called Scenes You Never Saw, writing the erotic passages. Left out of the great novels, they relinquish themselves to the heat. By accident, he knocks her earrings off in his passion. It's all she wears. He always finds them again and places them in her palm. They worry they'll forget how to buy food, go to the bank, read a book, call a friend. "You put your forefinger in," he says, "and dial." "And then what?" "And then what?" she says.
They say, then.
"And then what?"
"Then say hello."
"Then say hello," he says. "And then," but their legs are gently pretzeled.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get up. They giggle. They need a servant. They are starving to death. Their bodies ache. Maggots are in the garbage. Hair is in the sink. The daily papers accumulate at the door of the clapboard house. The air conditioning's breaking down. His spinster cousin, whose bed they are in, comes back from vacation and finds it clean.
But
she has insomnia every night for a whole
toothpick, my love for you will echo down Holden Valley, free, spiritual, and yes, sensual.
Wonderful. Did you write that earlier, or did you write it as we did?
Well, we did
that
recitation, and I just didn't read it.
Great. Oh, it's wonderful. I hope those of you who are writing these will type them up for yourselves. If you have questions about a lot of them, I know, come out as prose. If you really, really want it to be a poem and you weren't sure how to do that, I'm happy to answer questions about that at another time. But really, you should. What you've written is very nice, so I hope you will. All right. Well, let's do just one more, and then I think we should leave ourselves a little bit of time to discuss some of these. You'll have extras that we didn't get to, and just read them on your own, I think. I can never resist the chance to hand out poetry, so we've got more than we needed. It's all right. Do you have Essie over there? No, you don't? Okay. Do you have it? Okay. Essie.
I looked at that face, dumbfounded. The lights of metro stations flew by. I didn't notice them. What can be done if our sight lacks absolute power to devour objects ecstatically in an instant, leaving nothing more than the void of an ideal form, a sign like a hieroglyph simplified from the drawing of an animal or bird, a slightly snub nose, a high brow with sleekly brushed back hair, a line of their chin. But why isn't the power of sight absolute? And in a whiteness tinged with pink, two sculpted holes containing a dark, lustrous lava. To absorb that face, but to have it simultaneously against the background of all spring boughs, walls, waves in the weeping, its laughter moving it back 15 years or ahead 30. To have, it is not even a desire. Like a butterfly, a fish, the stem of a plant, only more mysterious. And so it befell me that after so many attempts at naming the world, I am able only to repeat, harping on one string, the highest, the unique avowal beyond which no power can attain. I am, she is. Shout, blow the trumpets, make thousand strong marches, leap, rend your clothing, repeat only, is. She got out at Raspail. I was left behind with the immensity of existing things. A sponge, suffering because it cannot saturate itself. A river, suffering because reflections of clouds and trees are not clouds and trees.
All right. Now, I'm interested in discussing any of these that interest you or that you have questions about, or your idea of whether there is sacred in these poems, and if so, what and where. I have all my own opinions about it, but I'm more interested in yours. Do you have a particular poem you want to ask a question about or start with? Or one that you disliked, that you would bring up, particularly liked or didn't like? One that you don't understand why it might be a love poem?
I wanted to ask earlier, and I think this is the same question, you know, but I think the first poem that we read is yours, that you called Prayer.
It's Prayer. Mm-hmm.
And well, you know, I haven't looked, and I just read it once, but I'm struck at the conclusion there it is, near the end. Mm-hmm. If I could leave the flimsy skin of my intellect on the sand, like a towel of all. And I'm wondering if you're suggesting that, being in love or loving is certainly not, it's not something you think about, it's not an intellectual exercise. And you seem to be saying that, well, if I could leave that would be, perhaps I could love. And I'm just wondering if you're thinking that that's the same thing as with prayer. So to love another and to pray, that obstacles in both cases can be the intellect or
knowledge, right? Yeah, I think that's a pretty good reading of it. I probably have the hardest time answering questions about my own work because it kind of... it's interesting to do this, and I often do bring them to workshops, that I'm forced to answer them or respond to them. But I think, yeah, this poem came about... I was trying to write about, really, sensuality and the sacred and love in a way that they all can overlap and become the same sort of thing in certain moments, and how the intellect or thought or who knows what, guilt, learning, how that can interfere and how it can get in the way. And we talked yesterday in John Barber's workshop about the sacred and Wonder. He's teaching a workshop on women's spiritual autobiography and how much is left unexplained in at least the writers that he chose. And he found it interesting that there was so much left open-ended, and that if anything, it seemed there was an attempt not to name everything, not to explain everything, not to analyze and answer, but rather to do a kind of questioning, and that left room for more interpretations, I guess, of sacred. And I think in my own life and my own journey through the spiritual and through love, that intellect has often gotten in the way. I don't mean in saying that to say that there's no room for it or it shouldn't be part of it, because I don't believe that. But I think that often what we're taught gets in the way or it conflicts with emotion and sensation. So, yeah, you read that well, I think.
One of the things I'm struck by with most of what we read today is how much the details of our daily life. Mm-hmm. And how when we're up close to them, we don't see that. I mean, we look at these poems and then suddenly we're made to see it. But when it's our own, close and personal, we don't necessarily name it or call it something like that, call it love, call it hate.
And that may connect with the difficulty, I think, this was another topic in the workshop, of living in the moment and recognizing it for what it is. So often we're caught up in longing and remembering something or wishing for the future and having a hard time doing exactly what you're saying, which is looking at what is around us in a given moment and understanding it for what it is. Yeah, these descriptions, a lot of these poems are catalogs of, you know, either memories or articles, artifacts in front of the person.
Have somebody read this because your title for the workshop came from that.
The Kiss?
And I haven't known it.
Alright, that's the Anne Sexton poem, which is on the back of. Yes. Would you like to read it? The Kiss? All right, well, we can keep coming down the row, which leads us here. I'm sorry I don't know your names, but do you want to read The Kiss?
My mouth blooms like a cut. I've been wronged all year. Tedious nights, nothing but rough elbows in them and delicate boxes of clinics calling crybaby, you fool. Before today, my body was useless. Now it's tearing at its square corners. It's tearing old Mary's garments off, knot by knot, and see? Now it's shot full of these electric bolts. Zing! A resurrection. Once it was a bolt, quite wooden and with no business, no salt water under it, and in need of some paint. It was no more than a group of boards. But you hoisted her, rigged her. She's been elected. My nerves are turned on. I hear them like musical instruments, where there was silence, the drums, the strings are incurably plain. You did this. Pure genius at work. Darling, the composer has stepped into fire.
Yeah, you may recognize I stole that line. I've been stealing lines for the titles of our session. That's a line from Anne Sexton. Yeah, this is a wonderful poem. The first line, "My mouth blooms like a cup," has always been intriguing to me because it can be, for different people, when I ask students what that makes them think of, for some they think of a smile, for some people they think of a scream or a frown. You know, the word bloom, we think of usually as a positive thing, but a cut is not necessarily. If you think of this red mouth and it's like a cut, it's an interesting line. Anything else you notice about this poem that strikes you?
It's a very odd thing about the "she's been elected" line, mm-hmm. in the boat metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
The body. She means that the body is a boat, right? Once the boat.
Yeah.
You hoisted her with it, and she's been elected.
She's done. Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think.
The way I read it anyway is that we usually refer to boats as she. Mm-hmm. That usually is the pronoun that we use for boats. Mm-hmm. She.
Chosen, I think.
Chosen?
Mm-hmm.
Where? You've been chosen?
Elected?
Or you would like to use the word
war. You're just wondering about the word, how the word is used? I think chosen is the right way to read it. Yeah, chosen for this journey, chosen for this.
Selected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is an interesting poem because of all, as we talk about the senses, you know, she's got sound. I hear them like musical instruments in the last line. She also does some kind of interesting analogies up in the very beginning. I've been wrong all year, tedious nights, nothing but rough elbows in them. It's a very interesting way to describe a frustrating night. And delicate boxes of Kleenex. Not many people work Kleenex into a poem. I think it works quite well. Anne Sexton did a lot of surrealism. She really did. Her images are quite surreal, I think. Yeah.
I wonder if the elected has the hidden meaning where you she's campaigned a lot for this spot. She's gone through some hard campaigning in life. And she feels like, hey, I got elected.
Sure.
I paid for this. And then with that, she's seen herself blooming. I mean, opinions here. She's seen herself blooming only to get cut in her bloom.
Okay.
I wonder. So she's glad she finally made it and got the trophy or the kiss or whatever. I don't know.
Because the beginning, I've been wronged all year. You know, there's a sense of this has been a long...
May she be not well? I mean, the whole thing about the electric bolts, you know. I mean, I know that Anne Sexton struggled with that and trying to kill herself. But there is both a beauty and a horror.
Well, that's another thing that I'm very interested in love poetry. And as I was telling you to do your own free writings, I realized I had to say, you know, it may have been a joyful experience of falling wild in love, or may have been terrifying, because as we talked about too last week with Martin Marty, the sacred involves both those, usually, and love too.
And I think what you were saying before about what you've been taught, holding on to what you've been taught, the second verse here, every day my body was useless, not tearing off its grey ones, tearing old Mary's garments off. Is this like the Virgin Mary?
What do you make of that?
Like, what we've been taught, what you've been holding us in, and what made us square.
Particularly for women, I think. Women's love poetry.
You know, I feel like she's in the mental institution. Mary is the woman down the hall.
Okay.
This is my opinion on it. And the composer could even be her doctor.
That's what I thought, too. I thought it was a doctor. I think it's, well, yes, and this is where poetry and the poets becomes interesting. Anne Sexton did spend a lot of time on your psychiatric health and attempted suicide, I think, several times before.
That were also kind of, the Kleenex box would also come into that. That's what I thought when I see it. There's always that little delicate box of Kleenex.
I think it's a very strong meaning.
Sounds like a person that feels very externally controlled, particularly by love.
Okay.
I would wonder, you know, that's not the terror of love. It's because you, by necessity, need the focus of your control in you. But in love, you almost surrender your focus of control, just like surrendering to the government or to a religion or to any external perception.
I have such a hard time with these one-hour sessions. I was lucky enough to have three-hour classes at the school I taught, and we could write for an hour and come back and talk about it. We could have probably altered enough time. Any last? As a batch of work, and there are a lot of different styles and moods and tones here. But do you have a sense of sacred or not? Do you separate that from love poetry? How do you feel about that?
One of the things I like is that much in there is celebration of the body. And I think a lot of us churched people don't get to honor that. We get, in a very early age, we sort of get that thought out of us, and this is not necessarily a good thing.
You get to honor it only at a certain age when you are married.
Celebrates the things of the body, all the kind of sloppy stuff, the the natural, the intense,
sure.
The yearning, and that's what I really do like about physical and a lot of poetry.
Mm-hmm. I think something kind of dries up. I mean, my mother was up here, and she's been a widow for almost 20 years now, and my sister gave her a book called Bridges in Madison County. I want to look at it because she was kind of quite taken by the fact that she wanted her picture taken down by the bridge. And I mean, just she needs something. It's been so long, and my father was a minister, and you know, and they had a love relationship for a long time. And then she's been without that for so long.
Yeah.
And she needs to. It's just something you need in your life.
I do, badly.
That you don't know just, you know.
Mm-hmm. How and where to, sure, for all sorts of different reasons we find ourselves shut off.
Shut off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.